Welcome to The Health Edge, translating the science of self-care. I am Mark Pettis with my friend and buddy, John Bagnullo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. It's great to see you. Hope you're having a great stretch here of summer.
Thank you. Having a great stretch here into mid-August, enjoying these precious, rapidly passing days of stronger sunlight and so we've had some nice sort of cool, you get a little bit of that fall in the air here in New England, and a few of these cool mornings, which are refreshing. And we have a topic, John, that I think is really fascinating. And while many out there in the sort of health longevity space are beginning to talk more about the importance of water and health, and in particular, this property of water, deuterium water, which is also known as heavy water, and the extent to which hydrogen, which is really the fundamental element in all of life, probably throughout the cosmos, hydrogen has a few forms. And while the predominant form is the hydrogen that we know and love, the hydrogen that has one electron and one proton, deuterium adds a neutron to the nucleus of that hydrogen, which makes the hydrogen molecule heavier. Some people refer to deuterium water as heavy water, as that hydrogen is incorporated into the water molecule. And as it turns out, the more you look at this, John, it's hard to escape the conclusion, at least theoretically, that having too much deuterium in one's system fundamentally shifts the biology of that system. And in a mechanistic way, and there are many good studies now that are beginning to shed insight on why it is that heavy water or deuterium can begin to interfere with human health. You see so many examples of mitochondrial inefficiency, of increased oxidative stress. We come back to the mitochondria. That's a central part of this deuterium story. And while human clinical trials using deuterium-depleted water as an intervention are limited, those studies that have been done are really compelling, and many of them have been done in the cancer world using deuterium-depleted water in addition to traditional medical oncology care, and comparing those outcomes to people just doing traditional oncology care and drinking regular water. There are some very compelling differences that one sees in outcomes. There are suggestions of metabolic health improvement, et cetera. So it's a topic that hasn't quite hit the spotlight, and yet I think it's very much going to become a central issue in the wellness, healthy aging, longevity space.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredibly interesting on a few different levels. I think that the mechanism that you just spoke about is what is central to this and what really should give this, I think, a lot more attention than maybe it has received, which is, you know, the mitochondria and the electron transport chain is such a finely tuned, highly sensitive process, which of course we're dependent upon for the vast majority of the energy that our body needs. And we know that the lifespan of mitochondria, or the effectiveness of our mitochondria, is, you know, it's paramount, right? It really is involved in so many different disease processes, and it's so closely tied to the aging, just the aging spectrum of how an individual or a population ages. And when you look at some of the, let's just call them mechanistic studies, when you look at things that are really myopic and really get down to how mitochondria respond to heavy water or water that's rich in deuterium, it's really apparent that there's something there. And I think you can go from that really like kind of micro look to big picture stuff, which is, it's really clear that the water and the water that's present in the in a ketogenic state, it's different. It's really different for someone that's in ketosis. And that there has to be some connection there between the state of water that someone's creating on a ketogenic diet with a high-fat diet, lower in carbohydrates, which is always lower in deuterium. It's there's something here, and I think one of the, I don't know how to say this the best way, but I think one of the deterrents to this field is when things are being sold and marketed, and I'm talking about the like the devices that change water, right? I think, and I'm not trying to discredit that. I think that, you know, there are studies showing that when you drink larger amounts of water that's been depleted of deuterium, that there are advantages to that. But I think what happens is, I think people go to a place when they see that something is being sold or marketed that's a device or a machine that's going to produce, in this case, a unique water, right? That a lot of people don't even understand, you know, protons and neutrons, right? So they're not going to get into the atomic mass of hydrogen. You're going to lose people with that. And then if you're telling them that there's this machine that they have to buy or that they can buy that's going to change the water they drink, much in the case with the acid alkaline story, right? I mean, you lose a lot of people. And I'm not saying that it should be this way, that it should lose credibility, but it does when it starts to get interwoven with marketing. And in my opinion, Mark, that's why we've lost a certain number of let's say clinicians or researchers. They start losing interest in it because it's looked at as something that, you know, someone's making a device you got to buy. But that's not what you and I are talking about. What you and I are talking about today is how you can create a lower deuterium load in the body with the way you eat and with exercise and with all the things that we normally talk about, like that, you know, that really kind of more ancestral way of life. In lifestyle.
Yeah, that's great, John. We'll pull up some slides here that really emphasize.
But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying with this, Mark, right? It's like the exposure people get to deuterium depleted water is often through an infomercial. And they say, look at this, someone's selling another device that's going to change the water I drink, and that's somehow going to equate to better health. And you start to, it kind of discredits it, even though there might be something with those devices and with that approach. There is a more fundamental or foundational approach to creating that type of lower deuterium load in the body.
Yeah, no question. Those are many drivers of resistance in certainly the scientific community to open themselves to any consideration. And I think what we'll show here in the studies that have been done and some of the basic science, that at the end of the day, we're really talking about physics.
Exactly.
This is actually very hard science. And while human clinical trials are still limited and very early in their evolution, when we get to the lifestyle ways in which one can lower the deuterium load in their bodies, none of which require, you know, buying anything, then, you know, I think that's where the take-home messages are. And so I'm going to just bring the slide deck up here, John.
And this speaks, you know, again, Mark, you know, as you and I talked offline, this speaks to that ancient ancestral guidance or wisdom, which is change your body's water. Like that's one of that's in every culture. When you really look at what those cultures advocated for in the way of health, it was change your water, clean your blood, filter your blood, right? If you're doing that, you're improving your health as an organism.
Absolutely. Well, let's let me just see here. I have a different interface my screen for some reason than what I'm used to seeing. Are you seeing the slides, John?
Yeah, they're coming through really clear.
Okay. And here on my screen, I have the hydrogen isotopes. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is just a graphic to depict the difference between hydrogen, which is what most of the hydrogen on our planet is, which is a single proton and a single electron. Deuterium or heavy water having this addition of a neutron. That's the difference, and that would seem perhaps on some level to be trivial, but what we're suggesting is that is not the case. And when you look at just some sort of environmental context, the distribution of deuterium will differ geographically and climatically in a few ways. So we know that latitude, if you get closer to the equator, you will tend to see higher deuterium in ocean water and in drinking water closer to the equator. Altitude, as one goes higher or lives higher in altitude, the water sources tend to be lower in deuterium. And these are just some explanations for why that is the case. Normal deuterium in drinking water is about 150 parts per million. Deuterium depleted water, generally, when you look at the research and when you look at retailers that sell deuterium depleted water, those levels tend to be in the as low as 5 parts per million to maybe on the high end of 100 parts per million. So that's just sort of the baseline. Typically, you see 150 parts per million of deuterium, and the suggestion is that that might be a problem, particularly over time, as that heavy hydrogen in the water in the human body begins to affect the biology of that organism. This was just a recent review paper, John, that I wanted to bring to the attention of our listeners, and I'll post. These are all open source reviews. This was published in 24. Nice summary of the biologic impact of high deuterium. And this is just a graphic from that article. Deuterium has been around forever and very much is integrated into life, around the planet. But there's a suggestion that humans today and our environments may have a bit more deuterium. And we know that humans, the standard American diet and many aspects of modern life will increase deuterium levels and will also interfere with the body's ability to handle deuterium. And over time, that affects, gene expression to mitochondrial function, cellular health, all the things that we know are interrelated. And for the human, having high deuterium levels can have a pro-cancer, can affect neurologic health, brain health, can possibly accelerate aging, enhance oxidative stress. So when one introduces deuterium depletion, in this case, whether that be through lifestyle, through a specific water that you're consuming that's deuterium depleted, or some combination of both, that you can have, and we'll look at some of the studies that form the basis of this, you see reductions in cancer activity. People tend to have longer survival that are being treated with cancer when they are on deuterium depleted strategies compared to those who aren't. You tend to see improvements in cognition, all the things that we talk about frequently with other aspects of lifestyle seem to carry over when you look at strategies to deplete deuterium. And then this carries into most chronic complex diseases by way of improving metabolic health, enhancing detoxification, lowering inflammation, and just rendering us more resilient. And you appreciate water as a just a such a profoundly important molecule, and the deuterium levels as they go up in water change the quality and the characteristics of that.
It really dovetails with everything that you know that we've talked about, Mark. It's incredible when you take a look at some of the research. And again, I know that you know more is needed in the way of human studies, but so many of these tangential topics that we get into are connected to this deuterium depletion approach. You know, the ketogenic diet, you know, limiting fructose-rich fruits, because those tend to be the ones that store the most deuterium, especially the tropical fruits. And then I even found in the journal Metabolomics, it was a 2024 paper. It was a review on the role of deuterium in human health. And they found that grain-fed cows produced, I can tell you saw that as well, deuterium-rich milk, whereas grass-fed and pasture-raised had very low levels of deuterium in comparison. You know, you start to put all of these different pieces in place, and it looks like it could be a central component to so much of what, you know, again, what we know is a conducive approach to better health.
Absolutely. It really connects many of the same dots and adds another dimension, a mechanistic dimension to help explain so much of what has been published. And this is just an example of one of the most widely studied effects of heavy water. This is the, if you will, the inner membrane of the mitochondria, right? The mitochondria has two membranes. It's pretty special. Also has its own DNA, right? And so we know that this electron transport chain that you discussed earlier, John, this elegant, precise, finely tuned quantum biology organelle, you know, just tunnels these electrons in a way that creates energy, and you see this gradient, right? Hydrogen is pumped into this intermembrane space. So this is the inner membrane. The outer membrane would be up here. And then it's the pumping of that hydrogen through these ATPase pumps that creates ATP, or really, this is bioenergetics. This is sort of the currency of living. And when you see higher concentrations of deuterium as the form of hydrogen, these sort of muck up the pump. It would be the equivalent of putting just a lousy quality gasoline or oil in your engine. And these rotary pumps, these rotate at like 9,000 rotations a second. It boggles the mind. That completely comes to a creep as a consequence of the molecular changes of hydrogen, which change the ability to transfer electrons. These are the sort of the quantum effects. And at the end of the day, you've got a mitochondria that can no longer live up to demand. And as we always talk about, John, that is a central driver of all chronic complex diseases in modern life, as well as diminished quality of life.
Yeah. And again, I think, you know, in an area that would be fascinating to explore is, do individuals with higher levels of deuterium, do they burn less fatty acids? Are they more glycolytic? Do they have a greater, you know, likelihood of having a higher BMI or having obesity? These are the things I'm really, really fascinated by, because we know obviously that the higher glycemic diet is tied to all of that. Well, how much of it is also deuterium dependent? I'm really, I'm curious. I think that study will eventually come. I don't know how many years we'll wait for that, but I think it will come where we'll start looking at things on more of this, like you said, more of a quantum physics level with what are the molecules that are making it harder for people to burn fatty acids compared to the next person?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we'll look at the food effects in a minute, John. And you've alluded to the fact that when you look at sugar and flour and these acellular carbohydrate-dense grains that we frequently talk about, they contain much higher levels of deuterium. And the animals, to the point of the study you mentioned from 2024, that consume those grains will tend to have higher deuterium in them as opposed to fat. When, you know, as we might remind people, when fat is oxidized or metabolized, it produces water.
Yeah.
This is why camels don't require a lot of water, right? They burn the fat, they produce their water.
Yeah.
We would call that water metabolic water. It's low deuterium water. It's deuterium depleted water. Right. That is the water that is produced internally by you when you burn fat. Unlike carbohydrates, and we frequently talk about carbs as a dirty fuel, not very efficient, lot of oxidative stress.
Yeah.
And this is just another example. The output, the water produced, is a high deuterium water, and that wreaks havoc.
Yeah.
And so here, you know, just some of the preliminary studies, just to focus on this at a high level, that have used deuterium depleted water. So these are you purchase, and these are available online. We're not here to recommend a particular brand, but you can buy water where deuterium has been depleted. You definitely want to look closely at the company and the methodologies they use. Deuterium is a heavier water, and it tends to have a higher burning point, boiling point. And so when you use like fractional distillation, that kind of what we did in chemistry in high school, when you were trying to separate molecules, deuterium depleted water comes to a boiling point sooner than deuterium heavy water. You can distill deuterium depleted water through those methodologies. And that's how, you know, the companies that are out there that sell this water that use fractional distillation are those that I would be looking at. And I'll show just a few of these studies in a moment, John, that we've alluded to, that people with cancers, various cancers, that consume deuterium depleted water in addition to their traditional medical oncology treatment do tend to do better. They have longer survival, better responses, and we know mechanistically that the lower the deuterium levels in water, the better cells are at what we call apoptosis. So if you're a rogue cancer cell, you're programmed to really commit suicide, to kill yourself.
Yeah.
But in the modern toxic environments that we're in, we that ability is impaired. So a rogue cell goes on without being taken out, and deuterium depleted water enhances those mechanisms. These are animal studies, mostly preclinical, that show that deuterium depleted water in animals that are diabetic will improve glucose and insulin excursions, and you get significant improvements in metabolic health. Models of Alzheimer's, neurologic disease also show significant improvements, and many of the areas of research in aging, longevity, will suggest that deuterium depleted water, unlike more standard heavy water allows better antioxidant systems to express themselves. And these are systems like NRF2 that really enhance the body's ability to maintain some balance with respect to free radical expression and quenching those free radicals in a way that allows the signaling and hormetic or beneficial effects to become more optimal. Mechanisms that are really compelling and tie to so many chronic diseases. We also know, John, this is such an interesting piece to the story that we frequently talk about the effects of light on water.
Yeah.
And we know from Gerald Pollack's work at University of Washington and others that have shown that water, when exposed to near infrared frequencies of light, like 860 nanometer wavelengths of light, that water rearranges itself. These molecules reorganize themselves to create a layering. One layer of which has more deuterium, the other layer of which tends to be deuterium free. Some people call that exclusion zone water, easy water. People, metabolic water. I like this is the water that is produced when fat is metabolized. Just as an example, when you look at heavy water, the effects of light on that water aren't quite the same. You don't get the same robust exclusion zone effect with heavy water. So we know that ultraviolet light will change deuterium water so that the bonds become weaker, these hydrogen-oxygen bonds. And again, this is all very sort of molecular, yet when the integrity of these bonds is weakened or the spatial orientation shifts, the function changes. So these are not trivial sort of academic, geeky things of interest. They have very significant effect on human biology and human health in much the same way. And this is such an important area, John, that we're still learning about. Water is the predominant molecule in the human body.
Yeah.
It's about 50 to 60% of the weight of that human.
Yeah.
And then if you were to look at just the number of molecules in the human body, 99% of molecules in the human body are water. Right. So water really drives life. And so here we're talking about a change in the quality of that water. And one of the things that metabolic water does is when a protein is surrounded by metabolic water, it tends to have more optimal function. The structure of that protein, its ability to act as an enzyme or to catalyze a biochemical reaction is much more efficient when that water is deuterium depleted or metabolic water. So heavy water creates a different hydration shell around that protein, which will affect the function of that protein. It may not have the same three-dimensional configuration. It may not bond to substrates or receptors as efficiently. And so we're looking at really how sort of subatomic disruption begins to manifest at the level of the molecule, the tissue, right, the organ, and ultimately the person. It's just a fascinating story, and I think very important for people to at least have some insight around. And this just looks at infrared light, as we were talking about, deuterium is twice as heavy as standard hydrogen. So when infrared light hits it, that extra neutron changes the effect that infrared light would have. So you don't get as efficient development of exclusion zone or metabolic water. And again, that changes the property. This gel-like metabolic water may be one of the more central aspects to optimal human biology, cellular function, extracellular, you know, communication. You know, these proteins are circulating in blood. You know, there's water everywhere, and so you begin to see how all these dots connect. And this is just a an example. It's a recent paper from China looking at what they call low entropy hydration shells. And low entropy would suggest that you have a very energy efficient system. It's organized, it's efficient.
Highly organized,
not chaotic. And so this is just an example of a protein, and proteins have charge to it, and that attracts water. There'll be a shell around it. Non-metabolic water, deuterium-heavy water, has chaotic structure as compared to what you see with metabolic water, where the charges, the negative charges and the positive charges are just neatly aligned. And that tends to promote much more optimal protein structure, function, activity. And I think our listeners can appreciate why that would be important for human health. And I just came upon this paper, John. We talk a lot about the research of Stephanie Seneff at MIT.
And it's a good one.
She is such a
it's a good one. Yeah.
She's one of the more out of the box, brilliant thinkers, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Her range of research is phenomenal. And she asks important questions, and good research starts there. And so this is a nice review article just recently published in Frontiers in Molecular Bioscience, looking at really how does the body handle deuterium? What's really going on at a molecular level? And, you know, one of the examples, and this sort of affirms things that we've talked about.
Yeah.
But this connects the gut. One of the ways in which the body gets rid of deuterium is the microbes of the gut, right? Add yet another function. You know, they metabolize, turn over hydrogen. So if you have dysbiosis in the gut and your ability to recycle hydrogen is impaired, we know that that has many effects on human health, but in the example of deuterium, it seems to reduce deuterium depleted. What they call depleted is deuterium depletion. You know, when you can't get rid of that through normal gut functioning, the mitochondria will then become overloaded. This is where a lot of the deuterium, for reasons that we reviewed in a few slides prior, the concentrations will increase. We know that that affects mitochondrial function, more reactive oxygen species. You've talked about the importance of cardiolipin, John, a membrane, lipid in the membrane of mitochondria. These cardiolipin become oxidized when deuterium loads go up, and that is known to affect membrane permeability. You'll see amyloid production as it relates to the brain, and you know, changes often seen associated with Alzheimer's. You know, you just have various effects on copper metabolism, and the bottom line is, in the example of brain health, that you can begin to connect the gut to deuterium in mitochondria, ultimately to diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and ALS. But you could probably extend this to cardiovascular, diabetes, fatty liver. You know, they all have similar pathways. And again, these are just review articles that I'll upload on our website. This is looking at a review of deuterium depletion strategies and the extent to which they promote health. And you alluded to this, John, just to sort of bring this home around actionable steps. You know, foods that are lower in deuterium are healthy fats, animal fats, animals that are, you know, grass-fed, pasture-raised. We talk a lot about olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil. Grass-fed, fatty animal proteins, right? Eggs, fatty. I mean, this is a
Grass-fed cheese and grass-fed yogurt and the other thing, Mark, is there's so many plants that are 99% water, and some of these plants, because of how sensitive their photoblasts are to deuterium, they have like an aversion to that in including that in some of their water. So, you know, like a zucchini, for instance, which I'm going to write about later today because it's such an amazing vegetable for human health and it's so underappreciated. You know, zucchini has a huge water content, and a lot of that water is in its own exclusion zone. Mm-hmm. You know, here the plant is creating this kind of special water state, which we benefit from when that becomes a consistent or significant part of our diet. And it's not just zucchini. Of course, you've got, you know, a lot of non-starchy vegetables, like, you know, whether it's cucumbers, zucchini. And then, you know, if you couple those fats and the green leafy vegetables, those foods, excuse me, and then other plants with the high-fat diet, avocados, olive oil, butter, you end up with this beautiful mix where the body's acquiring all of this deuterium depleted water from plants, and you're also producing your own metabolic water, right, from the high fat, low carb diet. That's how you really can change your body's water in a much more rapid manner.
Yeah, fantastic. And on this particular graphic, to your points, John, those foods higher in deuterium, when you consume them, in addition to those foods that when you metabolize them, the water they produce is not metabolic water, would be sugar, grains, wheat, corn, rice, bread, pasta, right? The sweet fruits. And we often comment, John, on how sort of that profound question of if should a person living in Burlington, Vermont, be consuming a lot of bananas that are
Bingo.
Made in Ecuador in the middle of December?
Jackpot. That's that to me is like that should be the question that we ask ourselves all the time. That to me is the billion-dollar, trillion-dollar question that people just don't ask enough. That's why I said jackpot. I think those tropical fruits, to your point, not just with the deuterium, the fructose load, they are probably the worst fit for somebody living in a very cold northern latitude climate, especially out of season, right?
Yeah, this is the case for eating local. This is at least one of the mechanistic cases. You know, when people closer to the equator often have lower prevalence of chronic complex disease. So it might beg for the question, if the water levels tend to be higher in deuterium and these tropical fruits higher in deuterium, why is it that people who live in those areas aren't sicker?
I think it's a great question, Mark, but I would argue that the influence of the sunlight in those environments, it probably is the X factor, and it can really help those individuals create more of that kind of exclusion zone, easy water. And I think it's overcoming, you know, maybe the disadvantage of having more deuterium in their water supply. Yeah. Yeah, that's just my theory.
That's exactly how I think about it, John. They get much more UV, infrared light exposure. So it's as if the environment they've adapted, right? These environments are ideally suited to allow someone to tolerate higher deuterium concentrations because they can eliminate it more effectively. And we know that many of these populations have a different biome compared to, other places. And there may be some enhancements of turnover there, but really interesting connections. And we know that deuterium depleted water may improve metabolic health, enhance mitochondrial efficiency, inhibit the proliferation of cancers. And by lowering the body's natural deuterium levels, you reduce this burden on proteins and enzymes and all of the systems that we know are critical. And again, these are just some studies that have looked at deuterium depletion with respect to conventional cancer. And this was a recently published study. And this graphic here, and I know those listening to this can't see it. I'll upload our slide decks and all of these references. But when you look at deuterium depletion over time, strategies, drinking water, consuming healthier fat sources, reducing carb, those carbohydrate dense foods, getting more of that natural sunlight at critical times. We know exercise. You see longer. There are these strong correlations with longer survival from the time of diagnosis. Those who've had very little deuterium depletion don't have cancer-free survival intervals as long as those who've had more time to deuterium deplete. And these are pretty strong Pearson's correlations with that. And again, this is just another review of deuterium depleted water in cancer therapy and a reminder that deuterium depleted water will help reduce the oxidative stress that the mitochondria and ultimately the cell produces. And that ultimately becomes a stimulus for glutathione and many antioxidant and repair systems, these NRF2 systems. So you see mechanisms that would explain why someone might do better, and epidemiologic studies as well as that interventional trial. And I think this may be the last slide, John, is just this look at how in animals, a deuterium-depleted water will enhance this GLUT4. GLUT4 is the glucose receptor will enhance insulin sensitivity. And if you look at in animals, glucose excursion and the amount of insulin required, these are diabetic animals.
This is fascinating.
Diabetic. You get with lower deuterium levels, you get significant improvements in glycemic control and insulin sensitivity. And we know that the mitochondria is an important player in diabetes and obesity and metabolic health. And so this is just a kind of a summary slide, John. I'll just go through this quickly and then I'll let you just close with some comments, right? So if you're looking to explore deuterium levels without buying expensive specialty water, again, the body generates its own deuterium-depleted metabolic water. And the lifestyle ways that one can do that is to prioritize a higher healthy fat, lower carbohydrate, ketogenic being sort of the optimal example of that. Fat metabolism, as we said, produces metabolic water, naturally lowering deuterium, enhances mitochondrial efficiency. And by lowering the sugars and starches and carbohydrate-dense grains, one will diminish the production and exposure to deuterium-rich water. We talked a little bit about vegetables, green leafy vegetables, animal fats, simple starches, sugars, equatorial fruits will have more heavy hydrogen. You know, it's the greens, it's the healthy fats, it's
avoiding the acellular carbohydrates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, intermittent fasting, exercise, light.
Yeah.
Cold exposure, cold plunges. These are all additional lifestyle strategies. And while they have been talked about, they're the usual suspects when it comes to health. I think what makes the story interesting here is you now have deuterium.
Yeah, it's one more piece of the puzzle that's starting to, you know, really help solidify this more ancestral way of life. But when we get into the physics, I think, you know, for some people, it's maybe a little too far out there. But I think when you get into the kind of the quantum physics world, boy, does that really help connect the dots. You know, when you start looking at the influences on molecules from a way of life, from sunlight, from a way of eating, and you look at how molecules change qualitatively, that's where I think we really start to get into the aha moments.
Definitely. Well, good topic. And
a lot of fun. Thank you for
reviewing this, John. And
yeah, thank you, Mark, for bringing this to our attention. It's awesome stuff.
Indeed. Well, stay well and be well, John. I look forward to seeing you next week. And
you
we
too.
Appreciate those listening to The Health Edge. Take good care of yourselves. Don't forget to love yourself. Get some sunshine.
And create that easy water in your body.
Exactly. Keep smiling. Right, brother. Take care.
All right, love you, Mark.